Thank you all very much for being here this morning. I stopped by the building yesterday. I was going to do a little work. And when I say little, you know all that is. So I walked in and turned the light switch on. I'm like, I thought that light switch is the right one. No lights. So I walked over to the hall over here, turned that light switch on. No lights. So I unlocked the door, went over, turned lights on. I hollered a little bit. I was the only one here. Lucas was out in the truck. Actually, Lucas had left to go get us lunch. I called him back because I said, hey, there's no power here. So the only thing that was on were the emergency exit lights. They were functioning properly. But folks, there wasn't enough light for me to do what I needed to do. Now, what I had to do, I didn't have to have electricity other than lights. But if I had to have additional electricity for whatever I was doing, didn't have any power. And folks, sometimes we walk through our lives trying to run on our own power, trying to run on emergency lights without everything being lit up, without having that access to the power of God. And what I'd like for us this morning to take a peek at God's holy word and look at passages in his precious word that reveals what his power is. Because you know, everybody has a different opinion about power, you know? Those of us that have Dodges with Cummins, we think we got the power. Those that have Power Strokes with the Ford, they think they got the power. And those with the Chevys and the Duramaxes, they think they got the power. Matter of fact, I'll tell you, the first sprint car I ever had, maybe I told you the story, but I'll tell it again. First sprint car I ever had, built the motor, put it together, put it in the car. That's back when we lived on the farm out on the dirt road. Started it up, man, it felt like it had 2,000 horsepower. Go to the track. I raced for a year, learning all the stuff you got to race and being a newbie and having a flag on my roll cage to let people know, get out of the way. I'm just kidding. I thought that it was just unbelievable. But it's time to rebuild the motor at the end of the year, so I took it to the machine shop. I use Woody's Automotive Machine down here in Thorntown. And we put that motor on the dyno after he rebuilt it. I set the timing and everything was right, you know, in the shop with how you set a magneto. We started it up, first dyno pull, and he says, it's only like 500 and some horsepower. And I'm like, I can't be right. He says, well, here, let's look at this and look at this. And he goes through and we fine-tune it. And we get it making, you know, in the mid-600 horsepower. So it was over 100 horsepower. Here I thought, I had that motor set up in my own shop with how I thought it should be set up. But until we put it on that dynamometer and measured the power, you know. So that next year, my second year, I had a lot better luck because I had another 100 horsepower when I went to the track. But folks, when we tap into the power of God, how much power do you want? You got just enough to satisfy you? You got just enough power to get you by? You got all you want? You got to detune yourself a little bit? I hope not. Hope not when it comes to the power of God. In our passage from Psalms this morning, the God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Folks, where's your strength? Where's our strength come from? From our knowledge, from our bank account, from how pretty our spouse is, how successful our kids are. Does our power come from God Almighty? It does. Strength in his power. I'm starting a new job tomorrow morning. I'm going to be relying on his strength and power to guide me to make good choices, hopefully be successful, represent his kingdom as I start a new venture with new people and a new company. Matthew, in chapter 22, book of Matthew, it is written, "The same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked Jesus, saying, 'Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died, and after he had married and had no offspring, he left his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third, and even the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her.' Jesus answered and said to them, 'You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, you have not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living.' And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching." And as we focus on our lesson this morning, the power of God. It's unique. It's actually not unique. It's godly providence that he puts here, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Because they go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. And not only that, he's the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His power is forever, from the beginning of what we consider time to the end of what we consider time, for eternity. His power is always that great. What happens if God decides he wants to bestow upon us a little bit of his power? Could we handle it? I'm just going to tell you right now, no. 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 We read the Old Testament. How many times God talked to the people directly? Talk to somebody else. We don't want that. That's way too much power. I don't want to be around it. So he wrote 10 commandments on stone and Moses brought them to the people. A couple other times in the Old Testament, multiple times, God talked to the people direct. No. Now they wanted food and lodging. They wanted all the benefits of God's power and his providence. But now I don't want to listen to you. Folks, you can't have God's power in your life without listening to God. Not possible. Not possible. Romans chapter 1, it reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his visible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." Power of God. It is the power of God under salvation, his eternal power. We're not thankful Let's look at that passage there where it talks about being thankful and glorifying God. Those that didn't glorify God were not thankful. So I ask us in our daily lives and in our walk, how thankful are we? How much do we glorify God? I'm not asking, but I'll just raise my hand. How many of us thank God for something this morning? We're not even halfway through the day. Did we thank God for something? Okay? Do we thank Him multiple times? We're glorifying Him when we thank Him and recognize how great He is and His power that He's bestowed upon us through His Word. 1 Corinthians, and beginning in chapter 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.' Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, the message of the cross. Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. Folks, how many of us got in a vehicle to come this morning and we trusted that the heater was going to work? And the wipers were going to work? Okay? Well, I barbecued in the garage last night, so we left Kelly's vehicle outside the garage. So I allowed the heaters, okay, to warm everything up and melt everything off instead of getting out and scraping, you know? The power of heat. We, by faith, we just take for granted that the car's going to start and the heater's going to work. Some things in our daily lives, we do that, folks. But as great as the power of God is in our lives, do we just take it for granted, like the heat that's going to come on? Or the lights are going to be on. The check's in the bank. The check's in the mail. Okay? I say in the bank of the electronic deposit stuff we have now. Folks, do we get so busy in our lives that we don't acknowledge how great God is, His power, and what He's doing for us in our lives? To glorify Him. To glorify Him. To be thankful that Jesus... You know, I continue to ask, how you doing today? I'm saved. I say that once in a while at work, you know, depending on who it is. Now I'm starting a new job tomorrow, you know. How you doing today? I don't know. You know? Same phrase or new phrase? You know? But from a perspective for us, to recognize the power of God in our lives. Not to take it for granted. Not to take it for granted, folks, because it's there. The power of salvation, being saved, having our sins forgiven. The God that created this heaven and earth cares about us and wants to help us every day. How He does that? If He told us how He takes DC, if God told DC, here's how I'm going to protect you and take care of you today, DC would do the same thing I would do. Whoa, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. That's not how I want my day to go. That's not what I had planned. That's not the plan I've got for my life. Because I want to be in control. We like that power. We do. Part of being a Christian is relinquishing that type of power in our lives to God. Walking by faith. Opening our hearts. Not being self-serving or self-seeking. But seeking righteousness to do the right thing. Continuing in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Folks, this is the power of God. This is the power of God. That's why we read on Sunday mornings the scriptures. Some of you enjoy the way I speak, some of you might not. But I use this verse to say, glean from God's word whatever His power is reaching out from you when we read the scriptures in the morning, on Sunday morning, the first day of the week. Because I have weaknesses, and I have fears, and I have much trembling in my life. Even though I've built million-dollar buildings, I've been able to help people become Christians by baptizing them into Christ. I've raced at 130 mile an hour without lifting in a race car. Done all kinds of worldly, powerful things. But it means nothing without relying on the power of God to direct me in my paths. In 1 Peter it is written, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than the gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls, who are kept by the power of God through the faith for salvation. It is salvation that is much more precious than gold. Jesus is much more precious than gold. Anything we can do in this life that's different than bringing praise, honor, and glory to Jesus and to the Father in heaven, being able to glorify Him by believing in Him and showing His power in our lives. You rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. A couple weeks from now, the kids are going to have inexpressible joy, right? Adam had a birthday this week. Brother Adam, okay? He had inexpressible joy because he was, you know, another year older, right? Brother, he's all excited. No, I'm just kidding. Folks, things in our lives give us great pleasure and great joy. And we look forward to spending time with family, friends, co-workers. You know, I'm looking forward to being excited about going to work. Now, those of you that are retired, you don't have that excitement. I'm sorry. You know, I'm jesting a little bit. But they're all different things in our lives that bring excitement to us, folks, and bring us joy. And we need to make sure that we are thankful and glorifying God when we go through those things. Now, we also need, obviously, you have been grieved by various trials. Folks, holidays brings memories of lost loved ones that we'll never see until we meet on the other side. Remind us of sins we've committed. Remind us of people that have hurt us. You know, there's a lot of things, trials that we go through during a holiday season. But for us to rely on the power of God and His Word to direct us, to look for joy, to look for something that directs us to follow Jesus when Satan is tempting us. Because we are kept by the power of God through our faith for salvation. For salvation. Our last passage this morning comes from 2 Peter. One of my favorite passages in the Bible. 'Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an inherent entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Folks, there's times in my life when I had to tell people, I didn't know. I'm sorry, I didn't know. You know? I'll give you an example. Talking to somebody that you hadn't seen for years, and you find out that one of their parents has passed away. I didn't know. Guys, good friend of mine's mom passed away. I didn't know. Didn't get to say goodbye, I'm sorry. All the joys that she brought me when I was a little kid growing up. Didn't know. Folks, don't let this world rob us of the power of God and sharing it with those people we love. And just a quick recap of our lesson this morning. The highlighted texts about God's power. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. You are mistaken not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. The gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God never says to us, folks, I wish I'd have done that for you. He says, here it is, I'm ready for you to receive it. If there's anything in your life this morning you need receiving from God, prayers, the congregation, forgiveness for your sins, become a Christian, have your sins washed away into baptism, follow Jesus, have eternal life. We offer that through an invitation just now as we stand to sing a selected hymn. We have heard.